Greet each one in Jesus' name this evening. Thankful to be here with you. It's a blessing to be able to be here with y'all. Hear a lot about Strawberry, Arkansas, and know some of you. But there's quite a few faces here that I don't have names for. So I look forward to getting to know you better. You know, as I just sat here this evening, just was blessed. We don't have to be in one place in this world to worship God. We can worship God wherever we go. And it's a blessing when we have other Christian friends that we can worship with. You know, that's a great privilege we have. And it is a privilege. It's not a promise. We haven't been given the promise that we'll always have this privilege. So let's take this privilege of great value. Well, thankful to be here, and thankful to have my family here with me this evening. My wife Leah, and my wife of about a little over 15 years now, and we've got our 6 children: Ricky, our oldest; Chad, Charity, Greg, Gwen, and Travis, and they're all here with us. And thankful to have them with us here. And my wife was talking on the way up, and I think this is the first time, other than I had meetings there at a local or a church or close by, that we were all together, but it's the first time that our whole family has been able to come with us. So just a blessing to all be here. So desire your prayers as we go through this weekend. My heart's desire is that God can receive the honor and the glory and the praise from His Word. As we go through, try to learn more of God, try to draw our minds closer to Him, and get a deeper understanding of who God is. So, and I don't know how y'all feel about it, but I feel like I've got an impossible mission. I've got like 4 messages to try to do that in, so it's just tough. But we have the Word of God. There's no limit. That's one thing I love about preaching, is there is no limit to God. You know, when we think about that, His Word, there's no limit. There is no limit to how great it is. There's no limit to how powerful it is. There is no limit to how much work God can do in your hearts and lives. You think about it, when we open our hearts up to God, we don't even understand what we're doing. But there's one thing we do know. When we open our hearts up to God, the best things will happen. So let's do that this weekend as we go through. This weekend, let's open our hearts to God and allow Him to have His work. For a message, let's open our Bibles to 1 John chapter 1. I've titled the message, Transparent in the Light of God. While you're turning to 1 John, in John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." You know, as we look at the Word of God, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So as we look at the power of the Word of God, again, there's no limit to the power of the Word of God. You think about it, in the beginning He spoke the Word, and it happened. In the beginning, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Let there be trees, and there was trees. Let there be animals, and there was animals. Let there be man, and there was man. Not exactly. He took special care for you and I. He didn't just say, "Let there be man," and boom, there jumped out men. He took time, and He formed man, and He breathed into the nostrils of man the breath of life, and he became a living soul. And that's why we're here tonight. If we hadn't had that special care from God, there would be no need for this. We have a living soul, a never-dying soul. Each one of us here tonight has a never-dying soul. You're going to spend eternity somewhere, in heaven or hell. We have an eternal soul. Our soul's going to live forever, either in heaven or hell. And that choice is up to you and I as individuals. You know, I don't know what that makes you feel like, but that makes me tremble. My family cannot make that choice for me. Your family cannot make that choice for you. You have to do it as an individual. Yes, we can help each other. We can encourage each other. But nobody can save my soul except Jesus Christ. And that choice is a choice that I'm going to have to make. So as we think about that through the message this evening, let's think about that. We have living souls. Each one of us has an eternal destination. So is it important how I or we live our lives here? Yes, it is. It's very important. It is very important in how you live your lives here in this community. This church here in this community is the light of God in this community. You know, as we think about it, you got a spotlight. You know, picture your church as being a spotlight for God here in this community. And we're going to look at that further. But you just think about that. You as a congregation are a spotlight for God here. And we're going to look at different ways you'll be that. Okay, 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ His Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Again, we are to be the light of God. We're to be the light for God here in this life. Just like it says here. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. You know, that's one thing that the light of God is. It shines into our hearts, illuminates our life. We become the light. You know, and we have the privilege of taking spotlights. You know, we can put light on anything we want to put it on. You know, you can spotlight wherever you want to spot it, and that's where the beam of light goes. But you think about that. If that lens gets anything on it, you know, any dirt, grime, or whatever, that shows up, it affects the light. It affects the penetration of the light. You know, and I think different ones of y'all have been down in our area hog hunting and stuff, which they don't use spotlights as much as they used to. But that was a big thing then. They used a lot of spotlights. You know, you can miss a lot if you got your spotlight muddy. You know, driving down the road, hanging a spotlight out the window, you get mud splattered over the lens. Before you know, you got big black spots out in the field, you know, and you can hide, you know, a whole group of hogs in that black spot. Well, think about that on a spiritual sense. The light of God shining into your life. There's sins, there's dirt, there's grime, there's something in there. It affects the light. How many people walk around in that dark spot in your light?
Think about it. How many people you're with, you're working with, you walk day to day with. How many people are walking in that dark spot as you're going around? You know, you're being a light for Jesus, but they're in the dark spot. They don't see it. They don't see Jesus in your life. You know, it is serious when we look at being the light for God. That is a great calling that each one of us have. It's a very great calling. And think about it. If we don't have anything in there, what happens? That light goes out bright and clear. Everybody you meet sees Jesus. Everybody you meet experiences the light of God in their life. There's power in that. Great power in that. You would be amazed, and I hope y'all are being amazed. I don't know how y'all are facing it here, and I just trust that y'all are having those experiences here. That as you go around, people are being touched by that light. As you go from day to day, I don't know what a lot of y'all even do for occupation. But as you get out, go about and doing your work. Is that light shining through you then? You know, brothers and sisters, that is the most important time for that light to be shining through. Yeah, we like it when we gather together on Sunday mornings, you know, and evenings like this, and everybody's all, you know, upbeat and just ready. You can tell they're just waiting to hear something from the Lord. That's a blessing. But you know when it becomes a real blessing? It's when you're out there by yourself going through life, and you're just shining like a spotlight everywhere you go. You're just a beam, beaming on everybody. That is when it's a blessing. And that is when you will see the power of the light of God. When you, yourself, are transparent and allow that light of God to shine within you. Because another thing, that's the only way the world is going to see it. Yes, God sends storms, you know, or allows storms and stuff like that to happen to try to wake people up. But He has chosen to shine His light through the hearts of you and I. He has chosen to use us to reach the lost and dying around us. God help us. God help us that we can be that light. You know, what does the world around you see? As you go about, what do they see in your life? Do they see light around the edge and a big dark hole in the middle? Do they see dark spots scattered over the beam? You know, I pray to God that they see a clear beam. I'm speaking freely. I don't know that there's anything that your ministry ain't said nothing to me. I don't know if anybody has any dark spots, any dirty spots. So I am speaking freely, and I'm trusting and praying that nobody does. Just take it as an encouragement as you go through life. Those dark spots, those little hidden things, those hidden secrets that you are not willing to face are affecting the beam of God's light. It's very serious. That we are transparent. We have to be transparent. Open ourselves up before God. Allow the light of God to shine in our hearts. And when I say allow the light of God to shine within our hearts, I mean have every closet of your heart open. Have it open. Allow the light of God within your heart. Allow it to shine deep within your heart. Allow it to be just like this cup. Well, every one of you in here can see what's in that cup. We can see. That is a clear, transparent cup. You can see what's in it. I'd say every one of you can tell there's some ice up there in the top of it. You can see that, and that's clear too. That is what God is wanting our hearts to look like. That is the transparency God wants in our hearts. That when His light shines through, it comes clear. nothing to hinder it. But you know, brothers and sisters, if there is anything in your heart hindering the light of God, you're not only hurting those around you, you're hurting yourself. You're hurting yourself. It's like it says here. In verse 7, we have fellowship one with another. You know, where does it show up first? When the light of God shines into our hearts. But yet it don't illuminate our lives. I don't know how y'all face it here, but for me, when the light of God shines into my heart and it does not illuminate my life, I soon find problems with my brothers and sisters. I soon find that it's hard to have a good relationship with them. I soon find that it's just hard to get along. You know, there's some things that my brothers and sisters think or do that's just it's just kind of hard for me to accept it. It's hard for me to go along and work with them in that. You know, God help us. But I think probably 99% of church problems could be taken care of if we would look in our own hearts. Like 99% of church problems would be solved right there. And I don't know that y'all are having any trouble at all here, and I pray to God you're not. But wherever there's people together, it seems like there's relationship problems that have to be worked with. So I encourage you, if you find yourself in that spot, your tendency is to look at the one that you're having trouble with. You want to focus on their life. You want to focus on the things that they are not doing right. You want to focus on the areas that they're not performing in the way that they should be, and you're having to cover for them or something like that. You know, you're looking, you know, the list can go on and on. But stop and look in your own heart. If we can do that, stop and look in our own hearts. Open our heart up before God. Be transparent. It'll probably take care of the problem. Let's look at 1 John. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John 3 verses 1 through 3. It says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." You know, the three short verses, but they are packed. That last verse especially. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he, Jesus, is pure. We talk about a power. That is power. That light alone shining in your life can completely change your life. It can completely cleanse your hearts. It can give you eternal hope. Like it says right here, "Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself." Every man that has this hope within him purifieth himself. What is that saying? That's saying that when the light of God shines into your life, you're going to do something. When the light of God shines in there and it sees that there's things in your heart that shouldn't be there, you're not going to shut the door to it and keep it. You're going to get it out. You're going to get free of it. You're going to purify your heart. You're going to cleanse your heart. Because God loved you so much that He gave His Son, Jesus Christ, to come here and live among us. Sinful man. He come down here and lived among sinful man and was treated like a sinner. He was treated like a beggar, an outcast. And he loved us enough. Think about it. He loved us enough that he allows his light to shine into our hearts. Think about that. The love that is in the light of God. He wants that same love to be flowing out of our lives. As His love shines in to our lives, reflects off of our life, that pure love of God touching the hearts and lives of those around us because of the light of Jesus Christ. You know, it's just, I can't understand that kind of love. I cannot fully understand that kind of love. That is so perfect, so holy, and so beautiful. You know, I've had to think about it. How would this community, how would the community in Commerce and everywhere that there's churches, how would those communities be affected if we truly allow the love of Jesus Christ to shine through us in that way? You think about it. Jesus come down here and he walked. Now he didn't get in the best ride they had at that time. I don't know what their top ride was. Probably some fancy horse and chariot. I don't know. He didn't get in one of those. He went around as a lowly beggar. The only time I remember it says he rode on anything was a little donkey. And he come riding into Jerusalem on this little donkey, and that's what all the poor farmers rode. But here he comes into Jerusalem and all the honors there, you know, they're laying everything in the streets for him to walk over. But yet he looked so lowly and so humble. When he could have come in as a king, he could have come into Jerusalem with flying all the flags, you know, and everybody would have thought that was just the way it should be. But Jesus loved us enough that he was willing to do without everything. Just to save you and I. That's the love he had for us. And brothers and sisters, that's the love he wants us to have for each other. That's the love he wants us to have for our neighbors, our friends around us. That's the love he wants us to have for all of those whom we meet along life's way. That's the love he wants us to have for the beggars that live out under the bridges. God help us that we can have that kind of love. That's the love he wants us to have for the homeless. You know, if we can have that love, think about it. You're going to have a powerful spotlight. You're going to have a very powerful spotlight. Let's think about it. You have that love of Jesus Christ shining through your life. Not for your own glory, but for the glory of God. I dare say, if we just allow the love of God to flow through us freely to everybody we come in contact with, every opportunity that God puts in our place, I dare say it wouldn't be long till you'd be known worldwide. Yes, we can look at that and say, oh, wow, that would be great. Everybody would know of us. Everybody would know of the church in Strawberry, Arkansas. They just do such great things. You know, there's no homeless people within 500-mile radius of Strawberry, Arkansas because these people reach out and they take care of everybody. You know, we can really get all puffed up about that. But it's because of God. It's nothing that we do. We're just only being instruments in the hands of God. We have nothing. It's all because of what God has given us. So let's think about it. The light of God shining into your life, cleansing your heart, filling you with His love, and you reach out. Where will it go? We don't know how far it'll reach. But it can touch generation after generation. We don't have the time to look at it, but we can look through examples in the Bible where that has happened. generation, hundreds of years later. You know, David is one, hundreds of years after his life, still refers back to, you know, David as being the father. They're walking in the ways of their father David. Walking in the ways of the father Abraham. Put your name there. Yes, we like to look at David. We like to look at Abraham and say, "Oh, well, those men were just they were really great. They were almost divine." Yeah, David and Abraham, I think, were really great Christian men. But they were no different than you and I. They had the same opportunities that you and I have. They had the exact same opportunities that you and I have today. They had that choice. Either choose God or choose the world. We still have that choice today. Choose God or choose the world. God help us that we can choose the way that David and Abraham chose. They weren't perfect. You know, David committed some really gross sins in his life. He done some things that he was very ashamed of. But you know what is a blessing about it? When the light of God shone into David's heart, what did he do? No, I can't say that. No, there's no way I can open. What did he do? When the light of God shone into his heart, when Nathan the prophet came to David and said, give him this scenario of somebody stealing the one and only lamb that this poor man had. They stole it from him, you know. And David didn't know what he was talking about. And he's like, oh, that man should be killed. And then Nathan's like, well, that's you. How many times do I go, oh, that was me? Okay, well, that's as far as I want to go there. That's far enough. I don't want to hear another word on this. Now, he says this is me. What did David do? Yeah, it was a shock. But you know, when the light of God shone into his heart and pointed out what it was, he got rid of it. He repented of it. He took care of it. Yes, the sin was committed. Consequences had to be borne. But he repented of it. You know, that is what the light of God can do in your heart and mine. And that is what makes David and Abraham and all those other examples in the Bible. That's what makes them so precious. It's because they experience the power of the light of God. They experience that power in their lives as it shone into their hearts. They didn't run from it. That is so important. And that's what happens to so many Christians today. We want to run from stuff. You know, the light of God shines in my life and it shows some sin or it shows something in my life and I want to take off and run. I don't want nothing to do with it. I'm going to run from it. And I get to the next place and that hits me again and I jump up and I run from there. You know, we're just this constant run. You see it. You know what I'm talking about. They can't never settle down anywhere. You know, they're bouncing from this church to that church, to this church over here. You know, and it goes on and on and on. A lot of times it's the light of God shining into their lives and they're not willing to take care of it. You know, God help us that when the light of God shines in our heart, we stop like David did. David didn't run. He just stopped. He's like, well, what's going on? What did I do? He's like, well, you stole a man's wife. He's like, oh, no. Yeah, he knew he'd done it. And he owned up to it. You know, that is the power. When we stop and allow the light of God to shine in our hearts, there is no sin that can stay there. But if we close it up and run, we'll die with that sin still in our hearts. If we don't stop and allow the light of God to shine deep within our hearts and be transparent, you know, God help us that we can just be transparent before Him. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5.
Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, and then 6 through 16. It says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." Verse 6, "Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which were done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." You know, it seems like those verses were written yesterday. They fit the times we live in so well. But they were written hundreds of years ago. And you know what? That just brings it out so clear. The devil is still just as busy today as he was back then. You know, we like to think that things are getting better. We like to think that, you know, we're growing in our knowledge of God the same as we're growing in our knowledge of technology. But it don't work that easy. It don't work quite that easy. It seems like it's pretty easy for us to grow in the knowledge of this world. We can look around. We can surmise a little bit. We can put a few things together and kind of come up with an idea of how things are going in this world. But you know, to grow in the knowledge of God, it takes dedication. It takes commitment. It takes perseverance. And not only that, but it takes a true love for God. You know, you can grow in your knowledge, or the knowledge of this world, without having a true love for it. But to grow and the knowledge of God. And I'm talking about real knowledge of God. I'm not talking about just picking up His Word and reading it and seeing what's in there. I'm talking about a true, honest knowledge of God. It takes effort. It's not something that we just haphazardly do. It's something that we put care into. We reverence the Word of God. We read the Word of God as if it is life. Why? Because it is life. Why are these verses that I read tonight so prevalent for today? Because they're life. That is the light of God, brothers and sisters. It doesn't change. What was written 1,000 years ago is still just as true today as it was back then. You know, if we can get that knowledge and that understanding of God clear in our minds, that'll do a lot. If we can get that clear in our minds, then the light of God shining into our lives isn't some old-fashioned thing. You know, the world today, and that's the reason why I'm preaching this message, because the world today wants to get man to believe that Christianity is an old-fashioned religion. It's no longer prevalent for today. You're being way too radical. It's not necessary. God is a God of love. He's a God of love.
So let's just love everybody. It doesn't matter what they're doing. It doesn't matter where they're at. It doesn't matter what they believe. Let's just love everybody, because God is a God of love. Everybody's going to heaven.
You know, that's one part of this 50s and 60s I wish could be erased. That's where that started. I know I was before my time, but that's where that started. In the 50s and 60s, that's where love lost its true meaning. It was losing it before then, but that's when it really did. When the hippie age come in, it was all about love. Love, love, love. Doesn't matter what you do, how you believe, how you feel, what you look like. It doesn't matter anything. Let's just love each other. Brothers and sisters, there was more corruption, there was more death, there was more crime than there ever had been. Does that sound like love? That is not love. Let's not get the world's definition of love confused with God. The love of God is pure and holy. The love of God is judgmental at times. The love of God is judgmental. It will judge you. And we all cringe to that one. We're not supposed to judge. We're not supposed to judge each other. No, we're not. But the love of God can sure judge us. God can judge us. And through His love shining through our hearts, why is it that those who are just buried in sin, why is it that they cannot stand to be around a Christian? Because the love of God is judging them. The love of God is condemning them. It makes them feel uncomfortable. And that's the way it's supposed to be. That is the way it's supposed to be. The love of God should make the sinner uncomfortable. Not that we go around and we try to make them uncomfortable. Not at all. Not that we go around and we try to judge them. Hey, I'm a child of God, so you're a sinner. You're going to go to hell. You know that, don't you? You're going to burn forever. You know that, don't you? You know, no. We're not going around judging people like that. It's the love of God within us that's doing the judging. We may not even say a word. They feel condemned. How many times have you been going through town, you know, or whatever, you know, there's immodestly dressed people, and all of a sudden they start trying to stretch those little garments that they got on, trying to cover just a little bit more of themselves because they feel condemned. You know, that's why they're doing that. They're feeling condemned. Why? Did you go say, hey, you know, you're kind of immodestly dressed? No, you didn't say a word. You just walked up, and all of a sudden, they're trying to cover themselves up, you know, trying to get their shorts to get a little bit longer. You know, God help us. God help us. But may that be the effect that we can have in the lives and hearts of those around us. Don't feel uncomfortable when that happens. Praise God. Yeah, don't try to make the person feel stupid about it. But if you got an opportunity, witness to them. That's part of being that light. But the most important part of being that light is just let the light shine. Let the light shine. That is the most important part. Just let it shine. You may not say like that when you walk up there. You see they're horribly uncomfortable. Your light is shining. Praise God for it. But it's probably not the time to rebuke that person. God has shown through you. Be sincere in it. Don't feel ashamed. I don't know how y'all face it. But our own carnal nature is, you know, when that happens, we kind of want to just get out of there, you know. We kind of feel uncomfortable. We feel ashamed to be. Now, yeah, if it's a bad place, get out of it. If you walk into a bad situation, get out of it. But if it's like it is, at times you're just going through life and you experience those things, and don't be ashamed of them. Don't be ashamed of them. Just turn the power of that, just turn that volume up on that light. Let it shine bright. You got a great opportunity. You know, for years we've been going to other countries, still are going to other countries doing mission work, and that's a good thing. I'm not against going to other countries doing mission work. It's a very good thing. But you know, we're having opportunities right here at home now that we used to not have. It is amazing at how many people, just in our little communities, as we go about, see that light. And God help us that we can keep the beam on that light just unfiltered, clear. Nothing in there to screen that light beam. Well, as we go about and we have the opportunities, you know, it's a blessing. I've got a young man that works for me. Just recently, here in the last year or so, joined the church there from the neighborhood. Young man, 17 years old, I think. And he had grew up in a broken home. I marvel. I just marvel at what he grew up in. Yeah, it's not like his dad or his mom, biological dad or mom, were real abusive to him. They were nice. For the most part, nice to him. But they divorced when he was just young. 5, 6 years, 7 years old, somewhere in there. For a while, he was kind of, I think, with his mother to start with. And then she remarried and didn't want him. So she sent him back to his dad. This little boy grew up in that home. Basically, yeah, his dad was there for him. But of a whole, just kind of grew up there learning what he wanted to learn. His dad was Lutheran. So the little boy started going to Lutheran church. And it actually worked all the way up to he was a full member of the Lutheran church. And I don't know how many are familiar with that, but that's a pretty long step there to become a full member of the Lutheran church. And they had had some of the other brethren in church there working for them, doing some stuff, and then they needed some excavating done. That's what we do. We come in and do the excavating, and this little boy was out there. I mean, every chance he got, he was out there just kind of trailing us around as we were doing the dozer work or whatever, wanting to help do something. So I built this little bridge across the little drain they had there, and he helped me do it. And his dad told me he wanted a job, so I said something about if he wanted to work, you know, he'd come to work with us. He took it. He come to work. That first day, I remember playing. It was one question after another all day long. I mean, he would ask one question, and I wouldn't get that one answered till he asked another one. And it went on, the questions kept going on all day that day and into the next day, and then he got quiet. Wasn't hardly saying nothing. Then he started asking deeper questions. We kept going through, I don't know, it was a month or so there probably, or longer. Probably longer than that. We had some pretty deep debates, arguments, whatever you want to call it. And I didn't know really what to do. Well, see, he was coming across pretty strong on the Lutheran way, and I was coming across just as strong on our belief, and we kind of hit it there in the middle, and we couldn't go. It was on infant baptism. So I said, well, I don't know what to do, but I'm going to just take you to every scripture it says about believer's baptism. So I just started giving him all the scriptures. Anything about baptism, I gave him the reference to it, and we'd go over scripture, read them. He kept arguing his point on that. Finally, one day he called me up, one Sunday afternoon. He said, I want to talk to you. So he come over. He said, well, that was my last question. He said, you're right on it. Was I right on it? I mean, yeah, I feel I was right on it, but it was the Word of God. The light of the Word of God is what done it. I had argued and argued and argued. I mean, sometimes we would, I'm just calling it arguing for lack of a better term, but we weren't like upset arguing. But we debated that issue sometimes for the entire day. I mean, just any time we were together talking, we were debating that baptism issue. I didn't have it. Yeah, I could tell him all of it. I could tell him all of it. But when I brought the Word of God out there to him, you can't argue with the Word of God. You'll lose. You know, the point is that I want to bring out to each one of us here tonight, when we allow the light of the Word of God, the light of the Word of God to shine into our hearts, it will illuminate our lives to the point that we ourselves, we won't even be able to understand the fullness, the far-reaching effects that it has. You know, and as we just give the Word of God out, that's what we're called to do. Just be that light. Part of that light is allowing the Word of God to shine through our lives. You know, praise God, that young man is still faithful. And I pray to God that he'll continue to be faithful. But what touched his heart wasn't my life, it wasn't the life of the church brothers and sisters, it was the Word of God. It changed the entire, it changed his thinking. Completely changed his thinking. That was the power of the Word of God. You know, brothers and sisters, that power is available for us tonight. That power is available. Open our hearts before God and allow the light of his Word to shine within our hearts. And things will change in your life. You will become more like Christ. Yeah, we want to think that it's so much of what we can do. But here's a proved point. I couldn't do nothing. It was only the power of God. It wasn't me that attracted that young man. You know, we get faced with that. I was faced with it. Hey, this is great. You know, this young man's coming in, he's working for me, now he's going to join the church. You know, this is great. But it wasn't me. If it was me, he would have never done anything. That's how carnal I am. I don't have it. But the light of God, praise God, the light of God that was able to shine through and touch his heart. You know, God help us that can be the light that we are. Let's be lights for Jesus as we go through this life. I want to read a few verses here in Psalm 89, and we'll close with that. Psalm 89, 15 through 18. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favor our horn shall be exalted. For the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King. At this time, could we all kneel for prayer?